As I said to you in my prayer, we have the absolute privilege of having someone come preach to us, come share with us. His name's Tony. He comes all the way from Four Ways. For the guys from Edenville, you know that place that looks like Italy, Monte Cassino? Yeah, that's Four Ways. Just getting it. Anyone past Bedford View is a little bit slower than the usual, but it's a fun. I just want to say on his behalf, guys, don't just sit down and think, okay, the fun's over. Just going to listen to a guy with slightly more whiter hair and beard than me. This guy's in love with Jesus Christ. He's leading a very successful church and developing a community who are sold out for Jesus Christ. And I think he's got something to share and impart into our lives that is very important. So I want to encourage you to open your hearts. And you might share some funny jokes and that. You don't have to laugh, but just help the guy along, you know, like you just did for me. So, Tony, it's a privilege to have you with us. Let's give him a round of applause. Slow clap, slow clap, slow clap. Yes. Weighing in at 150 kilograms. There's no technology in Four Ways either, so.
In Four Ways, we just hang our iPad in the air. Isn't that true, boys? I mean, it's good to be down here. All right, let me get all this stuff ready so I know how long I've speaking for. My name is Tony. How are you? Why don't you tell me what's your name all at one time? What's your name? Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Some of you lied just then, didn't you? All right. I enjoyed that worship. That was fantastic. I love hanging around with young people. I really do. Our church is full of young people. And I love hanging around young people because sometimes I get bored with the old people like me. It's great being with young people. Young people are wild. Young people are crazy. Young people are not scared to do stuff. And yes, yeah, it's brilliant. You know, somebody said that, Coke without a fizz is not so lekker, eh? A church without young people is like a flat Coke. But a church just with young people is just fizz. There's no substance. You need us old toppies there. We need each other. We need the Coke. We need the fizz. We need everything. And so just singing there about passion. Please don't think that when you hit 40, that you don't have any passion. I've just got as much passion as you have. And you might be louder and better looking and younger, but I'm just as passionate as I was when I was 18. I still think I'm jolly 20 years old, okay? But please don't think that old people don't have passion. Please don't ever think that. And we're singing there, "We the Freedom Generation." Please don't think that's just you, okay? That's me too. I'm also singing and dancing. I'm also part of the Freedom Generation. This is a generation for all of us. I'm not on the way out and you're on the way in, and you're not the next generation. We are the now generation. You and me, together, we're in partnership. And that's how we lead our church, and that's a fantastic church we have. We are in partnership together and passionate together. And so it is great for me to be here, and I want to share something with you that I feel the Lord's laid upon my heart, something that's burning. But just to give you a little bit about who I am, because I think it's important. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Okay, I didn't have the opportunity like most of you people. I never went to a youth group like this. You know, when I was in high school, I thought only weird oaks and weird chicks went to youth groups. Okay, I was out doing other things. Okay, and I thought Christianity, I thought church was for nerdy guys and nerdy chicks. Okay, let's just leave it there. Really, I thought it was for weird people and really people that did, you know what I mean? And I didn't want to go to church. And so I was never exposed to something like this, unfortunately. Now, I have children who have grown up in this, and some of you have grown up in it as well. And what a privilege you have. I was a very compied up teenager, like some of you are. We're trying to find our, and you're not all teenagers, I know, but some of us in our 40s are still compied up. But I was a very troubled, mixed up chap growing up. I didn't know who I was. I was trying to find my identity and find who I was in this life. And because I didn't have, I had great parents, but because they didn't expose me to Jesus, I went off the tracks and I started to experiment with everything and anything. Anything that came my way, I would try it. Not because, and I'm not, it's not something I'm proud of tonight. It's just who I am and who I was, in fact. It's the experience that I had. And so I was easily influenced and started to hang around with a different kind of crowd. And we got into drugs and we got into stealing motorbikes and we got into fighting and gangs and all this kind of stuff. And I was sharing this to make me look like I'm some cool guy. I mean, I'm just cool naturally. Okay, thanks for that laugh. They're just helping me, helping the old man out. Okay. But that's just my story. And I wanted you to know that. And I had a friend who was a Christian like you. Hopefully all of you are. And if not all of you are, you will be at the end of this meeting. I had a friend at high school like you who wasn't scared to come to us that were not going to church and tell us about Jesus. And he would invite me to meetings every single break. Tony, come to this meeting. I don't want to go to church, man. My church is in that place. And I'm having lots of fun there, which I thought I was having fun. But he continued to invite. And then one time I just said, you know what? Okay, let me come to church and hang with these weird guys. Guess what happened? Jesus took a hold of my heart, and I've never been the same again. I was 22 years old. And thank God that he saved me at 22, because I don't think I'd be here today. But thank you for this, buddy. God is good. God is good. And thank God for this buddy who wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He wasn't ashamed of Jesus. And he reached out to me. And you and I have a responsibility. We don't have to be ashamed of Jesus. We don't have to be weird and Bible punch and push Jesus down people's throats. Let's just be natural, but let's not be ashamed of Jesus. Let's not hide the light. Let's expose it in a wild but not weird way, if that's all right. And so I thank God for this buddy. But why I'm telling you this, and I'm not going to go into all the detail, but I stand before you this evening knowing what rubbish I got up to. And some of you have got up to some rubbish. Some of you have been born into Christian homes like my wife. I don't deserve the absolute precious good wife that I have. I don't, because of my past. But God blessed me with an incredible wife. Some of you have got involved in stuff. Some of you haven't, which is brilliant. You don't want to. But what I want to say to you is that God wants to use you. I stand before you, and every day, every Sunday I go to church, and our church, I'm just amazed that I have the privilege of leading this church because I know where I come from. And I tell you a little bit about my past because I don't want to forget it. I don't want to forget where I come from, so I think I'm some big deal and I'm some great guy and I lead a great church and it's all about me. It's not about me. Jesus took me out of the gutter. I was a rubbish, a nothing. I mistreated people. I was living for myself. I couldn't care for others. Jesus took that rubbish person out of the gutter, transformed him, changed him, and is using him today. And if God can use me, that's why I shared that story. If God can use me, he can use you. And not only can he use you, he wants to use you. Every single one of us have been given different gifts, different talents, different personality. And God wants to use us in our way. The problem is so often we compare ourselves with other people. We want to be like him or we want to be like her, where the best person you can be is yourself. And when God touches you, as we're going to discuss this evening, when he touches you, you'll never be the same. The gifts and the talents that he has given you are not for your self-indulgence. They're not just for you. They're for advancing his kingdom. And tonight, I'm going to trust that God is going to touch you. And his advancing his kingdom is not just church. Advancing his kingdom is being a muso. Advancing his kingdom is being a teacher. Advancing his kingdom is being a civil engineer like myself. Advancing his kingdom is being a nurse, is being a mother. Whatever God calls you, that's what it is to advance his kingdom in whatever. It's not just ministry. It's not just singing songs. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. I loved business. I was in business for many years before I was in the church, and I was worshiping God and ministering and advancing his kingdom in the business. So some of you are called to business. The potential in this room is enormous. I don't know Some of you might be Springbok rugby players. Some of you might be Springbok Bafana players. I don't know. Some of you might be captains of industry. Some of you might be brilliant engineers. Some of you might be amazing mothers who raise the most amazing children. I don't know what God has called you to do. You know what your passion is, don't you? God wants to use you to advance His kingdom in that. Now I know many people with amazing gifting, but there's something missing. I like to call it the it factor. Some of you have the it factor. And I believe when God touches you, every single one of us can have the it factor. There's something about us. Not that we walk into the room and we some big deal and we some this, but we walk into the room and there's a presence that comes with us. We demand respect. And I'm trusting that tonight, every single one of us will receive that. But I've met amazing, gifted people, but they're missing this ingredient that I'm going to talk about. They're missing something. And to be effective in what God's called you to do, you need to receive this. I remember a man by the name of Brian Gibson. I just got saved. I think I was within my first year, and we had this kind of gathering like this. I was part of a young adults and youth and whatever like this. And I walked past him as we were preparing. He was the musician, and he looked at me. He said, "There's an anointing on your life. There's something about you." And you know what? I haven't forgotten that 26 years later. And I said, "What is it?" And for 26 years, I've been saying, "What is it?" And really, it was as a touch of God. Because when I got saved, I encountered God, and I gave my life to God, and I poured my life into Him, and He poured His life into me. And that's what this Brian Gibson recognized. There's the hand of God on your life. Do you want God's hand on your life? Hopefully not for yourself, so that you can get glory, because it's not about you. But I don't want to walk a day of my life without God's hand on me. Not one second of one day do I want to walk in my own strength without God's hand on me. And the reality is, you and I can mess it up. In our youth group there, we had a youth group on every Friday night. We were gathering about 300 to 400 young people. I don't know how many of them are finishing strong. It's great to be young. I'm a pastor, and I deal with older people. And some of you come out of just damaged homes, unfortunately. Let's hope that none of you start a family and your children come out of a damaged home. Let's hope none of you get divorced. Let's hope none of you get into any sorts of abuse. Let's trust that every one of us tonight stays in the perfect will of God all our lives. Can we agree on that? I don't want to know one of you. I don't know. Some of you I'll never know. But if I look across you tonight, I pray and trust and ask God that none of you will bomb out the race. None of you will stop running the race with Jesus. But every one of us will fulfill everything He has. I had a guy that was when I went to Bible college. He was a young guy. His name was Rob. He was the most brilliant musician. When he picked up the guitar, the Spirit of God just fell in that place. He messed up his life because he didn't continue walking with Jesus. And so I want to read a scripture and tell you a story tonight about a person who was touched by Jesus. And I'm trusting that after this, we're going to sing and we're going to see the Holy Spirit fall. And I'm trusting, I've been praying for this time, and I'm going to trust that God's going to touch you. You'll never be the same again. That this is going to be a defining moment in your life. Some of you are struggling with some stuff. Some of you are struggling with addiction. Some of you are struggling with strongholds. Some of you are struggling with insecurity. Some of you are struggling with depression. I'm going to trust that all of those things are going to get broken over your life tonight. And so let me read a story from the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. It says, a large crowd gathered or followed and pressed around Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She just had this continuous bleeding problem, this lady, for 12 years. And it says, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, all her money she spent. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in this crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" "You see the people crowded against you," his disciples answered, and yet you ask, "Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And I believe Jesus is still doing that today. There's some of us that are touching Jesus in a way that he's looking around. Who is it? Many of us could be crowding around Jesus, but there's a certain amount of people that are touching Jesus in a way that's getting his attention. And I don't know if that's you this evening. You could be part of the crowd that's crowding around Jesus. This lady touches him. He says, "Who touches me?" The disciple says, "Jesus, can't you see how many people are crowding around you? Why do you ask?" Because she touched him in a specific way. She touched him with faith. She wanted to receive. That could be you this evening. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. I believe Jesus is still doing that today. He's looking for those that are touching him in this way. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear. Now she's afraid. Told him the whole truth, and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." You know, in those days when Jesus walked the earth, they say that you can go read in the Gospels, wherever he went, wherever Jesus went, the people begged if they could just touch him. They would be healed. People with demonic spirits they asked, "Could you just touch me?" And they were delivered of evil spirits. And now Jesus doesn't walk on the earth like he did then, but he walks in the presence of his spirit now, so all of us can have access to him. And I believe he still wants to touch people. Friend, I need God's touch. I want to go to my grave with Jesus anointing me and touching me and giving me power. Because this woman touched Jesus and power came out of him. That's why he knew. That's why he asked, "Who touched me?" Everyone else was touching, no power, no impact, no effect. But this one person touched him in such a way that power was drawn out of him into her. That's the power that we need. That's the power I want every single day. And you know what? I meet people like that all the time. I can tell who has drawn power out of Jesus. You can tell. You can just meet within 5 seconds, within 5 minutes of meeting someone. Maybe 5 seconds is a bit of an exaggeration, but within 5 minutes of meeting with someone, I can tell if they've had a touch of Jesus. You can just sense it. You can feel it. It's tangible. Do you want that this evening? Not for yourself. Not so that you become great. Not so that people can praise you and say how good you are. But so that God can use you. And God can give you power to finish strong. Because the reality is, I've prayed this and I believe, the reality is some of us are not going to finish strong in this room. Some of us are not going to finish strong. You need this power. I need this power to remain faithful to my wife. I need this power to raise my children as a proper father would. And I don't always get it right. I've got all 3 of them here. And they can stand up and say, "Amen, you didn't do the greatest job all the time. Did all right job at times." Can you imagine if I didn't have God's power, how useless I would have been? I needed his power. And all of us need the power of God to finish strong. Even you guys that are just starting out having a family. And so, Jesus is still touching people. No one is beyond his touch. So how do we get this? Is there something we need to do? Is there something we can do to get this touch from Jesus? I believe there is. Would you like to know what it is? Let me tell you. We're going to learn from this lady. Not going to be much longer. They say that I'm short and sweet. Even when I preach. If you didn't know this, I was a jockey. You have to be short and sweet to be a jockey. Some of you can't ride horses, eh? Can you all ride a horse? Some of you can't ride a horse. Do you know what? When Jesus returns, he comes on a white horse and his army behind him on horses. You better start to learn how to ride a horse. Otherwise, you're going to be cleaning my horse in the stables in heaven. So I can teach you, but I charge, okay? So Jesus had this act. We're going to learn from this lady now, okay? So it says she heard about Jesus. She went to where Jesus was. She had active faith. It's all well and good having faith, but you need to do something with it. You have to have active faith. She wasn't sitting at home. You remember? She was suffering for 12 years. She spent everything she had. She didn't sit at home and lie on her couch and wonder, I hope Jesus comes past my house. I hope he comes into my house. When is he going to come? She didn't wait. Some of you are waiting. Day of waiting is over. You need to get off your butts. Stop being lazy. And you need to do something about it. Stop saying, woe is me. Stop feeling sorry about yourself. Stop blaming your mom and dad. Stop blaming your friends. Stop blaming everyone else. And do something about it. Because only you can. You'll wait the rest of your life for somebody else to do something. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day your life can change. And it can be different. But you have to activate something. You need to do something. You need to do what she did. And there's many people in our churches. Many people in our church who have a tremendous gifting, but they don't want to move off the couch. They want us to come to them. They want us to give them a platform. They want us to recognize them. They want it to be convenient. They want it to be nice and comfortable. And they never happens for them. And that could be you. Get active in God's house. Get active in the church. Get involved. Make yourself available, because that's where God will touch you. Make yourself available. Our church, in four ways, best church in the world, in the best city in the world, best looking people in the world, strongest, most beautiful girls. If I see one of you dudes in our church after this, because I've said there's beautiful girls, there's going to be trouble. Joking. Joking about you're going to be in trouble. Not joking about everything else I said. Actually, I wasn't joking. You will be in trouble. Got some really big dudes there. Like me. Our church. The AV. The worship. The children's church. Is led by young people like you. I love to release young people. People that love God. Have the vision of the church, you go for it. Go run hard. I was looking at our worship team the other day. We had a full band up there. I don't know how many, maybe about 6 or 7 people. And I did a count. I knew how old each one of them was. The average age was 22. That's pretty young, isn't it? I love it. Young people, make yourselves available. Make yourselves available. Serve if you want to reach your full potential. Don't sit on the couch. Be like this lady. She went to where Jesus was. And be a blessing. Be a blessing. So she had active faith. Secondly, we see she had persistent faith. Persistent faith. She gets to Jesus. And guess what? There's a crowd there. She must have been ill. She must have been tired. She must have been weary. So she gets to where Jesus is and there's a crowd. She says, oh, I'm going to back out. I'm going to tap out. I'm going to go back home. How many times have you and I thought of doing that? There's a crowd here. There's too many people. It's going to be too difficult. They won't recognize me. And a tap out. Not this lady. You could be a dude in this church or in our church in your 20s. Now, I don't know what you call. When I was a teenager, we used to call girls chicks. She's my chick. What do you use nowadays? That was where we were in Hillcrest. So like four ways. But if you were, so Hillcrest was like four ways, was chicks. But if you were for Bedford View from here, it was like my borky. You know? So anyway, so let's just say, what is it? What's the word chick? It's chicks, eh? Chicks and dudes. So let's just say you're a guy in the church. Okay? You're a dude in the church and you're looking for a wife. Now that, you know, some of you are desperate. You don't need to be desperate. Wait for God. And there's a lot of other dudes around there, and you're like, you know, there's only a few chicks. You know, I'm going to tap out. I'm going to give up. And you're trying to force your own future. You know, we've had people come to our church, ladies or men looking for a wife, and they're in their late 20s, and there's no one there. So they go church hopping, you know, church hopping because they're looking. Doesn't work like that. This lady was persistent. Let me tell you, can I ask you something? Stop looking and start serving. If you're in your 20s, mid-20s, late 20s, Stop looking and start serving. Amen. So she pressed through the crowd. Can you imagine this lady? She was ill, remember? She pressed through this crowd. Must have been a little inconvenient. Some people there, she had to work her way. It was effort. It was effort. She had to put herself out there. She had to deny herself. She had to put her pain aside. And she had to put some effort to persistently press in to get to where Jesus was. She didn't tap out. Neither should we. We keep going for it. I heard somebody say this. If you want a large inheritance, you're going to have to fight for it. It's not just going to come your way. What is a large inheritance? Whatever you feel God's called you to do, whatever you're passionate about, what are you passionate about? Whatever that is, you're going to have to fight for it. Don't wait for it to come to you. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to push through. You're going to have to fall off. Now, my dad trained me. My dad was a champion jockey in South Africa. You wouldn't know. You're too young. But he was a champion jockey. And I was wanting to be like my dad. I wanted to be a champion jockey like my dad. But I got too heavy to be a jockey. I got too tall and too big to be a jockey. They're small dudes. Yeah, they're the real small dudes. And so what happened is whenever I fell off horse, now a racehorse, I don't know if you've ridden a racehorse. It's a crazy, highly strung thoroughbred that just as soon as you get on, wants to throw you off. And I fell off, I don't know how many times, on my head, on my butt, on my feet, on my stomach, on my nose, on my head, on my ear. I fell off so many times. And every time I fell off, my dad said, get back on. And I was a little dude, 12 years old. It's like, Dad, I don't want to get on this big horse again. Get on the horse. Because you had to fight your fear. You had to overcome your fear. Get back on the horse. You don't want to lose your nerve. It's the same with you. Persist. Don't give up. Don't give up. If you want a large inheritance, you're going to have to fight for it. There was a young man in our church. Young boy, in fact. And he loved the drums. And he used to come every Saturday morning when the worship team was practicing. It wasn't always on a Saturday morning. And he used to bring his bongo and he used to play along with the team. And he wanted to be a drummer. And then he went for drum lessons. And then it came, he wanted to play in the band. And his folks approached us and he approached us. And they said, can we test him? We think he's good enough. And so we tested him. We said to him, dude, you're getting there, but you're not good enough yet. He was so despondent. He was depressed, I'm sure, for a moment. But guess what? He didn't tap out. He went back. And he came back 6 months later. He said, I think I'm ready. Can I practice? And guess what? He didn't hit the mark again. We said, dude, you have to go back and practice. Went back and practiced. He didn't tap out. He carried on. He carried on practicing. He carried on with lessons. He was on the drums tonight. He's brilliant. He's getting better. He's getting better. He's a legend to me because he didn't give up. Even when we said to him, dude, you're not good enough. Which we'd be honest, he wasn't good enough at the time. He wasn't good enough to play in a band at the time. But he pushed through. He was like this lady, persistent. Didn't tap out. And then lastly, she had active faith. She had persistent faith. And she had expectant faith. When you come to Jesus tonight, when we're going to worship now, when you come to Jesus, I want you to come, if you're going to come, and you want him to touch you, you're going to come expecting something. Don't come to Jesus like, oh, I wonder if he's going to touch me. Will he touch me? Won't he touch me? You come expecting him to touch. You want him to touch. You're hungry. Touch me, Lord. I want to be different. I want to overcome that. I want to be used by you. So she said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. If I just get through, she was desperate. If I just touch his clothes, she worked her way through this crowd and she touched him. And the Bible says that power came out of Jesus. You know what? There's many people around Jesus. Many people. Thousands upon thousands. But every now and again, he says, who touched me? Every now and again. Could you be the every now and again person? I want to be that person every day. I don't know about you. You see, it was all about Jesus. Her obsession was Jesus. What is your obsession? Needs to be him. He needs to consume you. You need to place yourself in his way. You need to sacrifice yourself, everything to him. Only then, young people, only then will you find your true purpose in life. Only when you surrender to God. You might have some success if you don't surrender to Him, but if you want ultimate success, ultimate fulfillment, ultimate purpose, it's only found when you surrender to God. Totally surrendered. Totally surrendered. So for many, He isn't an obsession. There's many gathering around Jesus. Many want to be in the in crowd. Isn't that true? Many want to be the in crowd. Many want to be on the stage. But they want to do that for themselves. God will never promote you if you want it for yourself. You have to serve Him. You have to lay yourself down. And as I said before, there's many people with Jesus. There's many people around Jesus. There's many people touching Jesus. But their lives are making no impact. And so this has got nothing to do with personality. You don't have to be an extrovert. You can be an introvert. You don't have to be tall. You don't have to be big. You can be short. You can be whatever you are. You can make impact. I know this man who is this tiniest man. He is so thin. He must weigh about 25 kilograms. I'm not exaggerating. And when you speak to him, he is so timid. He is so shy. It's like so difficult to even get two words out of him. You have to like do all the talking. He's so timid. The other day I was in Ivory Coast with him. Other day, a few years ago, and he got up in the pulpit. Yeah, sorry. He got up in the pulpit and he was like a giant. It was like I was like shuddering. He was like preaching with such anointing and power. It was like, yes, I want to get saved. I almost did. He was so powerful. So it's got nothing to do with size or personality or age. But don't you want to make an impact? I don't want to. There's too many play Christians around. God wants to touch you. And He wants to use you, but you have to position yourself. You need to make yourself available. Are you available? Are you really available? Now, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up now, please, and Paul. And that song that you sung, the last song, can we do that? But in a more worshipy style, more worshipy way. Maybe we can start off with a bang, and then I'd like it to get serious. And I want to ask you to respond to God, not to me. Don't do it for me. I can't care less about me. But if you want God to touch you tonight, I want you to respond when I say so. And you come up here. But if you're not expecting it, don't do it. Maybe you're not ready. Some of you might not be ready. You don't want to respond yet, and that's cool. But if you feel you're ready and you want God to touch you, then come expectantly. And let's trust that your life will never be the same again. I remember when I walked up to the front for the first time and Jesus touched my life, never been the same. And since then, I've made regular walks to the front to renew myself, to re-surrender myself to God. And so, why don't we do that? We're looking for a radical people. Hey? We're looking for radical people. People that are not ashamed of the gospel. People that are saying, God, use me. And so, why don't we do that? Should we do that? Would you like to stand with me, please? And I want to pray for some of you tonight. And are you ready to hit it straight away? So as he hits it, so as he sings, why don't you make your way to the front here? And you're coming to the cross of Jesus, if you so desire. And I'm going to pray that God touches you. Come right up to the front if you can.